You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Or do you have to be?
Yeah. I mean, they're you know, instead of midnight cowboy, we have 2:48 p.m. cowboy. I mean, you know, it's funny. It's funny stuff. It's also, I mean, if you look not much deeper into the film, you know, you see references to, you know, Martin Scorsese posters are everywhere. There's some more inside stuff for perhaps film buffs, but that shouldn't deter anybody from looking at this film. But also, you know, perhaps if you're, you know, if you're younger, or the audience is perhaps younger, and they are not familiar with some of these films, you know, they talk about 8 1/2, the Fellini movie, and so forth. Maybe, you know, somebody would be, might be inspired to give some of these other films a look. These films
that's where I was,
are two film buffs.
Right, that's where I was going on it. It's kind of like a little collection of maybe you should see these.
Yeah, and the fact is that you can certainly see them. They're not obscure. I mean, some are less well known than others. But I mean, as I said, some of they do a funny bit on Apocalypse Now. They, as I said, they mentioned Citizen Kane and several others. So yeah, I mean, you can watch the film, and an added bonus, if you like. A benefit of the film is that you perhaps might give some of these other films that they mention a look.
Sure, very cool. That's pretty neat. If you're a movie buff, you'll recognize it immediately. But then, I guess is an interesting question. Do you on the surface? I guess it's entertaining without knowing those films.
Yes,
but
yes, certainly it doesn't lose anything if you're not familiar with some of those titles. There are some that there are more familiar than others, but you know, certainly. But if you realize, you know, you might, you know, I certainly, after watching the film, I wondered if anybody online had commented on it, or had perhaps given you, you know, a guide to what films they reference, and and that is certainly out there.
Yeah.
So you could do that. You could look up the, you know, the films in a moment. You know, we're not talking arduous research, and you could. And, you know, perhaps you might want to, see 8 1/2 or Anatomy of a Murder or any of the other ones that they talk about.
No, they don't do a lot of work on those, that entire movie. They're doing some specific scenes.
What's happening is that these guys, these two main characters, particularly because they're rather, you know, misfit types, this is how they bonded. They made these bad films, which they realize are bad.
Yeah.
But that, you know, they do these parodies of these classic films and of these art house films mostly, and then they don't decide. They are sort of they're sort of compelled to make a film for the dying girl of the title.
Right,
but they're very self-consciously, you know, these bad takeoffs, but funny, and we see bits of them, and we see the films that they reference, and we don't see the films they reference, but it's rather clear what ones they are referencing, and if you're, you know, someone in your audience obviously is interested, it's very easy to find out which films they're talking about, and maybe find those films.
And I'm just curious. You'll see some of the poignant scenes in those specific movies to make the comparison.
I don't. They're not. They only have so much time, and they don't devote that much time. You know, you see snippets of things,
right?
But it's enough to
catch
on.
Interested,
you could find the source material.
Sounds like you might go back and forth a little bit because I love those because you know I love to to watch and scrutinize the detail as to how they're either trying to duplicate or trying to mimic or even parody.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. House Speaker John Boehner says he'll resign from Congress at the end of next month.
It's become clear to me that this prolonged leadership turmoil would do irreparable harm to the institution.
In a statement on Capitol Hill, Boehner says he had earlier intended to step down at the end of this year. He said he made the decision to resign today after his morning prayers. Meantime, Boehner says he feels good about his accomplishments.
I feel good about what I've done. I know that I've tried to do the right things for the right reasons and tried to do the right thing for the country.
Boehner has been Speaker of the House since 2011. President Obama says China and the U.S. have reached an agreement on curbing cyber espionage. The U.S. has long suspected China of being behind some massive cyber attacks on U.S. targets, though China has denied involvement. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Warning, if you or a loved one are struggling with drugs and alcohol, there's something you need to know. Thoughts like, I can stop anytime, I'm not hurting anyone, it's my life, are lies. These lies cause you to drink or get high even when you've promised yourself or someone else you wouldn't. You may feel all alone, but you're not. We're here to help. Take the first step. Call us today at 800-461-3329 for a free no-obligation assessment. Your insurance may even cover the full cost of treatment. Please don't wait. Call 800-461-3329. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Call American Drug Treatment Centers to speak with our trained staff. We'll walk you through getting yourself or a loved one into treatment even if they won't admit there's a problem. The truth is, drugs and alcohol want you dead. Don't let them win. One simple call will start you on the road to recovery. Call 800-461-3329 now. It will be the best thing you ever do. Call 800-461-3329.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits, your host for It's the Law, and let's talk about the weather for today and this weekend. First of all, to give you some information, today was a gorgeous day. If you haven't been outside, you've been in a cubicle, try to sneak out as soon as you can because it's really beautiful out there. Tonight is partly cloudy. Excuse me. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of about 72 degrees, which is perhaps 2 or 3 degrees cooler than today, but a beautiful day to work outside. Tomorrow night, low of about 54 degrees and mostly cloudy. And then in the morning on Sunday, it's mostly cloudy, then a slight chance of showers, a 20% chance, and it would be probably in the afternoon towards early evening. By Sunday night, we have a 30% chance of showers, and then on Monday, again, a 30% chance of showers. So the best day of the weekend looks like tomorrow, and of course today, although they said it was partly sunny, it really was a gorgeous, gorgeous day. So that's the weather. I'm expecting a guest today, so I want to just play a couple spots so that when he gets in, and I think he's been, traffic today has been horrendous, and of course the school buses are out there again. So I hope he's going to be able to make it, but let me give you a couple messages from our sponsors, and then I'll be back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, good afternoon. It's back with It's the Law, and I am waiting for my guest, but let's proceed and talk about some of the things that are happening in the law. And hopefully he'll be able to join us this afternoon. And he may have called my office with an unexpected delay. However, I was not in my office. So, as you know, if you listen to the program, my name is Pat Smits. I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County. However, I only handle family law matters. And since we like to give general news, that's what I'm going to do today. And one of the things that everyone who wants to not be honest should be aware of is there was a case decided by the New Jersey Supreme Court. And it was a case where a general counsel, now this is an attorney who works for a corporation, and he was found to have committed legal malpractice and fraud. And the New Jersey Supreme Court has ruled that an employer may be allowed to seek disgorgement of compensation from an employee who breaches the duty of loyalty, even if the breach did not result in economic harm to the employer. So this is a very, very significant case. And I think corporations will certainly try to make use of it whenever possible. So this is one of the concerns that an employer might be able to get compensation back from an employee. Now, I think that's probably generally only in high-level employees. But in any event, if there has been a breach of the duty of loyalty. So there is such a duty. If you're employed, you have a duty of loyalty. Now, one of the things that's been in the news, and you've probably heard it, about Volkswagen. And Volkswagen, of course, once there was an emission, emission, I guess that can be emission or admission, but once Volkswagen what they did, of course, is the Environmental Protection Agency announced that the company, Volkswagen, programmed software in cars with diesel engines to evade clean air standards. And, of course, this would be especially true in California because California has very high emission standards. But at one point, I had a Volkswagen Rabbit, and it was a diesel. And that goes back many, many years, of course. And, of course, all cars in New Jersey and California and in other states, not all states, do have to go through inspections. And the clean air standards, the emission standards, has to be a certain level. And, of course, there's also the Environmental Protection Agency that has certain standards for cars. But in this case, there was a deliberate programming of the software to evade the clean air standards. Interesting, there has been at least 16 putative class actions filed around the country. Now, don't get me started on class actions because I think that usually, and I don't like to say this, but usually it's the attorneys who are making the money in the class action suits. But this is, of course, prime for the attorneys, those attorneys that do class actions. And they're, you know, certainly not every attorney does. Now, there was also the Supreme Court in a case that previously yielded a $1.06 million verdict against the state police. The Supreme Court has agreed to determine whether government entities are shielded from Americans with Disabilities claims. So this would even be the claims. And is the state, is someone barred from bringing such a claim against a state government entity? And the court is going to take on that case. There's also the Florio firm, an outside investigator's report deemed that Stockton University's $18 million purchase of the defunct Shobo Casino property was a poor decision. And the investigator's report spread the blame among numerous parties, including the New Jersey firm counseling the university in the transaction, so that the Florio firm was not spared in that criticism. And many people would say, well, wait a minute, why would a university, you know, ever be purchasing that kind of property? And certainly Stockton University is a public entity, and, you know, surprising that they would have even done that. So what else? One of the things that people often ask is, you know, what are equitable remedies? And there is a case that is right on point. It's a labor and employment case, Kay versus Rosenfeld, and it was a Supreme Court decision. Justice Patterson wrote the opinion. And what the Supreme Court found is that in accordance with the broad discretion afforded to courts fashioning equitable remedies, there are fair and practical, I'm sorry, that are fair and practical. In other words, it has to be fair and practical. The remedy of equitable disgorgement may be awarded in an appropriate case, even in the absence of a finding that the employer sustained economic loss as a result of the employee's disloyal conduct. That's the case I was just talking about. So if a trial court determines that disgorgement is an appropriate equitable remedy, it should apportion that compensation and order disgorgement of only the compensation received during the period in which the employee breached the duty of loyalty. So, interesting case decided by our Supreme Court. So, other contracts, there's a contracts course with respect to residential and commercial real estate contracts. And in that case, it was an appellate division case. The plaintiffs appealed from an order granting summary judgment to the defendant. And the summary judgment released the defendant from personal liability to the plaintiffs for a development project. And the in this case, the parties were involved in a real estate venture to develop property. And they entered into two operating agreements to establish ownership percentages in the property. So the partnership, there were more than one partnership agreement, but in any event, a subsequent operating agreement was also entered into by some of these gentlemen, and they each personally executed the document. The other person was not, the company, Bay Development LLC, was not referenced. Now, the plaintiffs in this case brought the action against two other participants for losses they sustained as a result of the venture. Now, one of the defendants moved for summary judgment, arguing that he had no personal liability, but rather it was the development company that was a financially responsible party. And what happened is the appellate panel reversed and remanded, finding that the submitted documents contained ambiguities as to the party's intent, and therefore granting of summary judgment was improper. And so that a summary judgment can only be granted if, in fact, there are no controversies. And the appellate division said there were that it was improper in this particular case to grant summary judgment. So that's a summary judgment action means that the plaintiff bringing a summary judgment motion, there can be no disputes, at least no significant disputes, and that's the only way it can be granted, because otherwise each person has their day in court. But a summary judgment motion does not enable one person to have their day in court or defend against the action, because it's simply the court is making a determination that the plaintiff does not have to go through a trial because there are no controversial issues, and the court can deal with the case in that summary fashion. So that's always an interesting way, and you have to, you know, obviously when there is summary judgment, it means that the case is over. Now there's the New Jersey Supreme Court has also adopted a rule that creates a unified mental health service provider privilege. And that's going to reorganize the current patchwork of privileges which offer varying degrees of protection to professionals. So that will, of course, be significant in family law cases. I've not read it yet, but it certainly will make it much easier to determine the difference between, for example, a psychologist and a licensed social worker, or other mental health worker. Now, there was a family law case, although it was not approved for publication, where the plaintiff wife wanted, and she appealed from a court order from a trial court denying her motion to set aside the party's property settlement agreement, or PSA. Now, this is really important for everyone to know, not only in the context of family law, but in other areas. You know, you don't sign an agreement unless you fully understand it. Hopefully you've had an attorney explain it. And you understand that you're not just going to be able to sign something and then on a whim say, I don't want to do it anymore. So in any event, in this case, and there are reasons that an agreement can be overturned, especially in a family area, one of which would be undue duress or coercion. There are certainly sometimes, if it's so wholly one-sided, it might be. But in this case, the plaintiff, former wife, contended that she signed the agreement under duress, that she did not agree to handwritten alterations to the printed property settlement agreement, and did not make the initials that were purportedly hers. And so there was a hearing. The trial court held a hearing and resolved the conflicting testimony on those issues against the plaintiff. So having considered the plaintiff's arguments and the applicable law, the appellate panel found that the trial judge's findings of fact and credibility determinations were supported by ample credible evidence on the record. And so that's important because there's no way that an appellate court is going to second guess the trial court. And the fact that the trial court found and resolved most of the disputed evidence against the former wife does not make it improper. And so that the in this particular case, the court found that the countervailing testimony of both the plaintiff's former attorney and the defendant to be credible. So in other words, in this case, she dragged her former attorney into the litigation, and her former attorney did not help her by any means. And also that the court found the testimony of both, the appellate division, the appellate division upheld, and the trial court also had difficulty with plaintiff's credibility, and the appellate division said that was amply supported by the plaintiff's inconsistent testimony, and not only about what she did or did not agree to, but also what the plaintiff said at the divorce hearing and later denied at the plenary hearing. In other words, you can't say XYZ at the trial court and then go to the appellate division and say, no, I didn't say XYZ, I said ABC. So this, the appellate division in this case affirmed the trial court's determination. Well, what else is happening? As I said, we were talking about the Volkswagen litigation. there's one, there's a torts and immunity, MATA versus Boulevard Court Condominium Association. And in that case, the City of Jersey City appealed an order granting a motion by plaintiff for leave to file a late notice of claim against the New Jersey Torts Claims Act. So let's remember, and this is, again, it's important to understand what your rights are and when, if you in fact have some kind of the possibility of filing a lawsuit, when you have to do it, and when it's something to do with a city or the state, when are your rights cut off if you do not file a proper claim? So, for example, There's a New Jersey Torts Claim Act. And in this case, the plaintiff's apartment building had no electricity as a result of Hurricane Sandy. Now, however, without the benefit of emergency lights, the plaintiff walked down a dark stairway to the basement in order to throw out his trash. Maybe, I guess, he shouldn't have been walking down the stairs to throw out trash in the middle of Sandy or its aftermath. In any event, while returning to his apartment, he mistakenly opened and walked into the elevator door instead of the stairway door. Now, he fell down the elevator shaft. Obviously, this is not funny. So he fell down the elevator shaft to the basement and sustained a number of injuries. Now, he, within 2 weeks of the accident, I guess somehow that was significant, he retained an attorney who hired a private investigator. Now, he hired the investigator to identify the culpable parties, and also there was a request submitted to get public records from Jersey City pursuant to the Open Public Records Act. So it took some months, but he did get something. Okay. So the other, well, I don't know if it's interesting, but in there was a report regarding the response by the Jersey City Fire Department to an emergency call at the plaintiff's building. That was the day prior to the plaintiff's accident, and the call was to rescue an individual who was stranded in the same elevator where plaintiff was injured. So we have a situation where the plaintiff in this case is seriously injured, and so that, but can he sue in this case? In other words, there's no question about his injury, but it is true that in the report, the Jersey City Fire Department was not listed among the potential defendants and was not named in the lawsuit that the plaintiff filed. It was only during the discovery period that counsel for the defendants suggested to plaintiff's counsel that Jersey City police and firemen responded to an emergency request. And so that's what brings that into the case. And also, the plaintiff, well, then the plaintiff filed a motion for leave to file a late notice of claim. So, in other words, the plaintiff in this case did not follow a procedure that he should have followed, and as a result, he had to ask if he could file a late claim. And this would be against the state of, it would be the city and department. So the appellate panel in this case reversed the trial court's decision, and the appellate court found that plaintiff could have easily determined he had potential claims against Jersey City in a timely manner, where the CID report evidenced that the fire department and fire department's rescue somebody that was not going to make them liable. So let me say that again. The appellate division found that the plaintiff could have determined that he and potential claims against Jersey City in a timely manner. That is not necessarily harassment, but it has to be looked at carefully. So, and what the appellate court said is that the plaintiff could have determined that he had potential claims against. So, that's, and the court found, of course, that the
plaintiff could have determined that he had potential claims against Jersey City in a timely manner, and that he did not. And so that's why we have that decision. So there's a Patterson attorney claims that, and he filed suit in U.S. District Court. He claims that Houghton Mifflin Harcourt and one of its authors defamed him in the 2014 book. Now, the Mendez case is still raising its ugly head, and in what's happened recently is during arguments over motions to dismiss, and this was to dismiss the corruption charges against U.S. Senator Robert Menendez. He was a Democrat in New Jersey and Florida. He wasn't a doctor in Florida or... I'm getting tongue-tied here, and I'm sorry. So during arguments over motions to dismiss corruption charges against U.S. Senator Menendez and Florida ophthalmologist Salomon Mangan, in this case, the judge was not the ultimate trier of fact, and we have a situation where... we have to take a look at how the judge handled the argument, because that's always important. And in this case, the judge appeared skeptical about the, and this is, quote, stream of benefits theory underlying the prosecutor's case. So, again, in addition to knowing the law, you have to know how it's applied, where it's applied, who's applying it, and all of that varied and sundry stuff. So as I said, the New Jersey Supreme Court is going to take a look at whether the state's immunity statute and whether or not the shielded as a result, whether or not the are shielded from Americans with Disabilities Act, meaning the whatever money or stock or other assets that the defendant uses. Well, we're going to be back after just a couple other spots from our sponsors.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington.
A little bit.
Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
My guest didn't show up, so I'm just trying to fill time with some of the news for legal news. So, do you have any legal questions?
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness?
Okay, good.
NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Well, I guess we were on the air while we had that little exchange. Our guest for the sports guys is here, and as I was expecting a guest for the program It's the Law, and somehow he was delayed, so I'm trying to fill in and just with some of the news and the news that is going on. So one of the cases that, and I've often told people, you have to be very, very careful if you're not married and you're buying real estate together, and it's not unusual today for people to do that. And I suppose I sound like a broken record sometimes when I say that in the event that two unmarried people buy real estate together, they really need to specify and have a contract as to what happens if they break up, what happens if one of them doesn't contribute. Every possible thing needs to be considered because it's different than if people buy real estate when they're married. But here is a actually a pretty interesting case from that standpoint as to what can happen. So this was a partition action. Now, what that means is that when two people unmarried decide that they own real estate together and one wants to get out of the deal, perhaps because they're terminating the relationship, that's usually what happens, they can file a complaint to partition the property. And sometimes property can be partitioned and sometimes it can't. But in any event, this, in fact, the case I'm talking about, was a partition action which arose out of the lengthy unmarried relationship between the plaintiff, and I'll call her Alina because the last name is too hard to pronounce, and the defendant, Edward. So after the relationship ended, the plaintiff in this case contended that the parties had engaged in a joint venture with respect to two residential real estate properties in Old Bridge Township. Now, they were titled solely in the defendant's name. And, however, they cohabited in one of the, for over 20 years and also a second investment property was purchased. Now, at the end of the relationship, the plaintiff sought a 50% interest in the two properties. Defendant denied that the parties engaged in a joint venture and asserted that the plaintiff was a mere tenant and was entitled to nothing. Now, this case was actually tried, and there was a jury. It was a non-jury trial, and the two parties were principal witnesses. And what happened is the trial court found that the parties participated in a joint venture solely with respect to one of the properties. And the judge found that the plaintiff contributed $6,000 towards its original purchase price, and the judge found that the defendant funded the purchase of the property with separate funds and rejected, that's the second property, and rejected plaintiff's argument that he used equity from the first property. The court also rejected plaintiff's assertion that she made further contributions to the equity of the property. And the court concluded that the $6,000 contribution to the purchase price entitled her to a 3% interest in the property. Now, based on the property's current fair value of $445,000, the court found that the plaintiff was entitled to a payment from the defendant of only $13,350. So at that point, this was the trial court, and at that point the plaintiff appealed, and on appeal argued that the parties engaged in a joint venture. Again, she's making the same argument that she did at the trial. And so based on that, the defendant also cross-appealed, arguing
that there was insufficient evidence to a joint venture as to the one property, and the appellate court affirmed the trial court's decision that the parties engaged in a joint venture as to one property, but not to the second property. However, they remanded the case for reconsideration of the court's equitable award, and in fact found that the plaintiff may be entitled to an enhanced share of the equity pertaining to the first property, the Greystone property. Well, this is important, and an important case for a number of reasons. The last thing that anyone wants to do is to get involved in litigation, especially in litigation where there's going to be a lot of he said, she said. And this could have been totally prevented by having the lawyer who assisted them in the real estate to not only clarify the deed, and if they wanted to hold it, both of them, that's fine. But what happens when one of them wants out, or if one of them wants a bright green hat, or one of many other things that can happen? So this is what you don't want to do. You don't want to have to buy into litigation, because that is not only expensive, it's very nerve-wracking. So the what else is happening? Well, the Bridgegate, we all remember that was the intentional slowing down of traffic over the George Washington Bridge. And there is a criminal case, and they've asked a judge to reject the claim in one of the news. Sources, obviously. But the court now, the defendants have asked the judge to reject the claim that notes from 75 interviews it conducted for a report on the September 2013 lane closures at the George Washington Bridge do not exist. So they're trying to push, the defendants are trying to push to get this case over and settled out of our dear county here. So we shall see what happens because they're pushing, and I think they're just trying to protect the powers that be. In any event, we'll see. Of course, the papal visit is having lots of repercussions all up and down the east side. If you tried to get in your car and drive anywhere this morning, you certainly would have seen that was the problem. So there was an environmental law case that was handled and reported, and this was a case of first impression. Now, that means that there's been no prior cases that have been decided that the judge in this case could have relied upon. So in this case, the state of New Jersey moved to dismiss the plaintiff's complaint against it under the Spill Act. Now, the Spill Act is a statute, NJSA 58:10-23.11, but it's certainly in this case, although it's a case of first impression, the issue is whether the state of New Jersey could, in fact, collect, whether the plaintiff could collect against the state of New Jersey under the Spill Act for contribution towards the cost of remediating a contaminated site. And they're looking into this based on state's contention in many ways. And so what ultimately happened in this case is that because the Supreme Court has upheld retroactive application of the Spill Act, absent a clear expression of legislative intent to the contrary, the Torts Claim Act cannot be construed to immunize the state from liability. So in other words, the state is liable or can be liable if it's proven. So if the potential contentions of the plaintiff are proven that the state in fact played a significant part in the planning and construction of a seawall using hazardous materials, and the state had actual knowledge of the use of hazardous materials, and the state actively operated and maintained the project and failed to intervene to prevent or abate the risk of contamination after being notified of potential harms, then the state to strict liability under the Spill Act, and therefore the state's motion to dismiss was denied. So this was a very significant case against the state of New Jersey, and this case is continuing as a result of that decision. And that was NL Industries versus State of New Jersey. So let's talk about one more. And here was a case where, and this was an employment case, and it was McNaughton versus Del Barton School. And in this case, the plaintiff was formerly employed by the Del Barton School and the Order of St. Benedict of New Jersey. And if you know anything about Del Barton, it's a private Catholic school owned and operated by St. Benedict's order. And during what happened here is during 2003 and 2004, that school year, the plaintiff was employed as a teacher by Del Barton and also as the winter and spring track coach. And the next year, he was employed as a teacher and the freshman football coach and head coach of winter and spring track. And the co-defendant in this case was not only Del Barton was a defendant, the co-defendant was Father Luke Travers, and he was the school's headmaster at the time. So what plaintiff alleges is that while he was performing his duties as track coach, two members of the track team approached him and revealed that Travers had made them uncomfortable by excessive hugging and patting their buttocks. And the plaintiff reported this conduct to his supervisors. And as he was required to do, obviously, and probably should have reported to DIFAS. But what happened then is in March of 2005, he was informed by Travers that his contract would not be renewed. So let's remember, he'd worked there 1 year, had a renewal contract for a second year. And so he had reported Travers to his superiors, and then Travers said his contract would not be renewed. So in response to the plaintiff's protest that his termination was not justified, there was an agreement. The parties entered into an agreement and a general release. Now, despite the agreement, plaintiff alleged that senior staff members at Del Barton interfered with his attempts to obtain subsequent employment by making disparaging remarks about him to potential employers. So that was the deal. In other words, when the plaintiff decided that he would in fact leave, even though he felt that his being canned or fired was not justified, there was an agreement. And thereafter, the plaintiff said that the defendants violated the agreement because they in fact made disparaging remarks about him. By the way, that was very foolish, if in fact they did, because that kind of an agreement, it would be helpful in a case like this if the defendants said nothing and the plaintiff got a wonderful job. But that didn't happen. So in this case, the plaintiff appealed the court order dismissing his complaint because his complaint was dismissed and summary judgment was granted to the defendants. So all of the defendants were with summary judgment. They were all out of the case. There was no case. So now the issue on appeal is whether the jury could find the plaintiff would have been hired for any of the positions for which he applied, but for the breach of conduct and breach of contract and interference by the defendants. Now, the appellate panel in this case found that the trial court erred in dismissing plaintiff's complaint as to breach of contract and tortious interference with economic advantage. And the count as to negligent supervision
of employees, the court said, should also be reinstated, as the issue as to whether the employees who disparaged the plaintiff were adequately supervised to prevent such breaches of the agreement. And the court said that's a jury question, even though the school asserted that it took appropriate action to avoid breaches of the terms of the agreement. In other words, if you enter into a confidentiality agreement, you have to be very careful that somebody doesn't breach it. So in addition, the appellate court said there was no evidence that clearly refuted the plaintiff's allegations, and that the written communications, combined with what appears to have been clear violations of them by employees in very high-level positions, demonstrated that there was and is a genuine factual dispute. And so the panel reversed the dismissal of the counts alleging breach of conduct and, breach of contract, torturous interference with economic advantage, and negligent supervision. And also that second breach of contract for the respondent superior liability. And so the panel affirmed the dismissal of the count alleging fraud in the procurement of the agreement. So in any event, that's about the extent of the legal news this week. I look forward to seeing you all next week, and I will have an explanation as to what happened and why my guest, David Perry Davis, was not able to make it. But at this point, we're going to go on and give you the news, and we'll come back shortly with the sports guys. So please stay tuned.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. House Speaker John Boehner is resigning, and it appears that plenty of Republicans are happy about the news. Presidential hopeful Senator Marco Rubio brought the House down today when he broke the news at the Values Voter Summit in D.C.
Just a few minutes ago, Speaker Boehner announced that he will be resigning. Yeah!
Boehner released a statement today saying that the first job of any speaker is to protect the institution that we all love. Boehner's statement went on to say that prolonged leadership turmoil would do irreparable damage to the institution. The Republican will resign the speakership and his seat in Congress on October 30th. Boehner has been Speaker of the House since 2011. A Volkswagen veteran will take the wheel as the German automaker deals with the biggest scandal in its 78-year history. VW named Porsche boss Matthias Mueller to replace Martin Winterkorn as CEO following a marathon board meeting today. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Musicians, singer-songwriters, whether you're creating new music, recording, or performing live, now through Sunday at Guitar Center, save up to 20% on select gear to bring out your best. Like the inspiring tone of a Martin acoustic electric guitar, just $449. Select Daddario acoustic guitar strings, buy one, get one free. Or an acoustic amplifier with digital FX for both guitar and vocals, just $129. This weekend is your chance to save on everything you need to make music. Guitar Center's singer-songwriter savings is going on now. Don't miss it.
Remember when a small business needed a landline? Today, the world is your office with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. On the road, at the beach, or at home, Grasshopper helps you grow your business with all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone. Features include multiple extensions for your team, calls forwarded to your mobile phones, voicemails transcribed and emailed, and so much more. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
A Senate bill that would cut federal funding for Planned Parenthood is dead. All Democrats except West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin voted against the bill Thursday, as did 8 Republicans. Immediately after the vote, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell filed a so-called clean funding resolution, which does not include the Planned Parenthood section. In a change of policy, the European Union's Mediterranean naval operation will begin an enhanced program against migrant traffickers.
Policy change was announced in Rome by the European Union's Foreign Affairs Chief, Federica Mogherini.
The change would be that instead of only gathering information, we would be able to boarding, searching, and seizing the vessels.
The European Union has 4 warships now in operation, with several planes in the battle against smugglers as well as human traffickers. They will continue to operate in international waters with orders not to enter into Libyan territory. I'm John Clemens.
For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges.